You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What's going on?
Thank you so much.
Like $1 million.
Shout out to TMZ. Yep.
Let me check out that rig.
TMZ stands for the Mayweather Zone.
How'd you find me, bro? I got my disguise on.
I love my TMZ family. My sports.
Welcome to TMZ Sports. I'm Mike Babcock with my guy, as always, Mojo Moutadi. Mojo, we're going to start with UConn, the University of Connecticut, who capped an absolutely dominating NCAA tournament Monday night. Mojo, it was close during the first half. I thought we had a basketball game. Then in the second half, I found out, no, we do not, because UConn is just that much better than any other team, even fellow number one seed Purdue. UConn ends up winning 75-60. They cement themselves. They crown themselves as NCAA champion once again, Mojo. This is back-to-back. That's not something that you see in college basketball. I don't care how dominating your program. It's just not something that happens. But it did for UConn. And Mojo, this is now undoubtedly the most dominant program of the last 25 years since 1999. They have won. UConn has 6 national championships in men's basketball alone. Forget it if you want to fold in the women and how great they've been. They were the team that a lot of people thought were going to win this thing, Mojo, and they made it look easy.
Well, the wife's family was happy yesterday, Babcock, considering they're all from Connecticut.
Oh, no way.
So it made my life a little
easier.
Shout
out to Grace's family.
Dude, this was crazy, except I think you made a little bit of mistake in your recap, Babcock. You
wouldn't be the first time.
You said that UConn beat Purdue. I'm not entirely sure that's accurate because I think UConn beat Zach Edey and the rest of the Purdue team didn't show up for the game whatsoever. So I just wanted to point that out there.
Fair.
Hey, you're right, man. This is the team everyone thought was going to win. Back-to-back champions. I mean, that cannot be understated. But man, oh man, what a game. Even with the Raw after WrestleMania, I still had to switch over and go back and forth between this and that. Man, exciting matchup, but you're right. They pulled ahead. Wasn't all that competitive for that long. UConn just dominant.
Absolutely, Mojo. There was star power in the building last night. A lot of celebrities. One of the celebrities, not necessarily there because he's just a fan, as we see some of the stars, not necessarily just because he's a fan of UConn, although that guy right there, the comedic legend, Bill Murray, is a fan of UConn. His son, Mojo, that is Bill Murray's son, and he's on the court because he's an assistant coach on UConn. And this guy, and his name is Luke Murray, and he is, you know, you might soon call Bill Murray Luke Murray's father. If this guy continues to have the incredible career that he already has for himself, still a young guy, he's about a decade into his coaching career. He is credited as being an offensive genius, Mojo. And if you look at this offense for UConn that was so hard to stop, impossible to stop for most of the year, he gets a lot of the credit for devising that system. So after the game, it was pretty cool to see Bill Murray have a moment with his son. You can only imagine how proud he must be. You know, he could have chosen to go into show business and had a bunch of doors open for him, presumably not the path that he took. And instead, now he is a national champion. And I know a lot of people believe, Mojo, that he is going to get some serious looks from other teams, from athletic directors out there, and certainly will not be a UConn assistant coach as much as they would want to keep him. He is going to be a head coach somewhere else. Now, Mojo, speaking of being a head coach somewhere else, Danny Hurley is the fantastic head coach for the University of Connecticut. Of course, was a pretty good player, played at Seton Hall. Shout out to Seton Hall. He is absolutely amazing, Mojo, and you know it, not just by the fact that he is winning all of these championships, but by the fact that he is rumored to be the ultimate prize, the guy that the University of Kentucky badly covets now that Coach Calipari is on his way to Arkansas. He is out after 15 seasons. There are a bunch of reports that they are going to go after Danny Hurley hard, Mojo. So last night, as Danny was meeting with the media, one of the happiest nights of his life, he, of course, was asked about the Wildcats job. Sorry, Lexington. Take a look.
Dan, I hope I don't misquote you, but you said out on the court something about UConn giving you all the resources you need. Can we interpret that to mean you intend to be back at UConn next year? You're not going to entertain any conversations with anybody else that might have a job coming open tomorrow?
Yeah. I don't think that's a concern. You know, my wife, you should have her answer that. Yeah, she'll answer that question better than I can. Yeah.
See, we'd like to congratulate Coach and thank him for all the time he spent here in the main interview room all week. Not a lot of mobility on Segoria.
Whoa! I almost hit the trophy, man.
Mojo, the reason he was laughing and what he was trying to say about his wife is she's and so is he. They are East Coast people. They're from New Jersey. And he made the point that it was hard to get her even to go to Connecticut, which is in the tri-state area. But going to Kentucky, it seems like that's a non-starter.
I love that answer. Dude just went back to back. You're going to pepper him with questions about going somewhere else. Of course, you know, to be expected, and sometimes money rules, cash is king, right? But hey, this guy's on cloud nine right now. What a legendary feat. I'm sure he's going to be basking in this one for a while.
Former American League MVP Mo Vaughn joins us next. What does the former highest paid player in all of baseball think about Shohei Ohtani's $700 million deal? Plus, what are his thoughts about the recent rash of injuries to star pitchers? All of that coming up when TMZ Sports rolls on.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of the hunt. But are you getting the thrill of the best deals? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Macy's, Adidas, and Walmart, and even stack sales on top of cash back. It's easy to use, and you get your cash back through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. So download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten. Rakuten.
Welcome back to TMZ Sports. Mike Babcock here. Baseball season in full swing, and we are very fortunate to have this guy right here. He was undoubtedly, you cannot even deny it, one of the most feared hitters of the entire 90s. He was an AL MVP, was an All-Star a bunch of times, and of course, that is the great Mo Vaughn. Mo, how are you? Thank you for being here.
Man, thanks for having me. I'm doing fine.
We got a lot to talk about. I know you've recently partnered with Perfect Game, this absolutely massive scouting service. You've of course got Vaughn Sports Academy in Florida. First things first, Mo. as I was preparing for this, I'm looking back and I'm seeing people talk about the Ohtani contract and looking back to the late 90s, 1999, where you were the highest paid player in Major League Baseball at the time. I think you signed a 6-year, $80 million deal. But when you see Ohtani sign a 10-year, $700 million contract, what do you think? What do you say? Is it like I was born at the wrong time?
Listen, I'm very happy what happened to me. It just shows, you know, the amount of dollars that are in the game. These guys that are going out and playing the way that they're playing, 30, 40, $50 million a year contracts. You know, it's just amazing. And listen, it's out there. Owners are making it. I'm glad it's a great opportunity for the players to make it too. You know, I always say this. There was always great days for me when I was playing Major League Baseball, because when they played the national anthem, you look up at that flag and go, man, I'm getting paid to play this game. And I think that's what always has to be, but the opportunity is just outstanding for these people coming up. Listen, I got an 11-year-old son. Hopefully he can take care of me, you know, at some point in time. But, man, it's great. It's great to see.
You know, the season's obviously young, Mo, but we've seen a seems like a lot of pitching injuries already. You've heard the Players Association talk about the pitch clock and how they believe it's causing arm injuries. What do you think, as a guy who's obviously on the other side of things in the batter's box, what do you think about the pitch clock? And do you believe, knowing the game like you do, is it causing these pitchers to get hurt?
I'm just going to say this. When you're out there throwing max effort every pitch, people talk about velocity. People talk about spin rate on sliders and curveballs. When you're out there giving max effort every pitch, you are going to get hurt. That's my philosophy behind it. If you look at a lot of the great guys that pitched and played the game, they're cruising, and they're cruising at 92, 93, 94. And then when that situation in the game comes up, they reach back and they start throwing 97 when they need that. But that's knowing how to pitch, knowing how to put the ball in the right places, not giving max effort until you need to. And I think in some instances, analytics, and I always said there's a place for analytics, but it can't be the end-all, be-all. And when all you're talking about is spin rate and velocity and how fast the ball is spinning instead of throwing a strike, that's how I think people are getting hurt.
All right, let's talk about Perfect Game. If people aren't familiar, it's quite literally the world's largest scouting service. You recently became an investor. You have, I'm sure as a lot of baseball fans will know, the Vaughn Sports Academy in Boca Raton. What's going on with Perfect Game and Vaughn Sports Academy, Mo?
Well, first, I got an academy down here in Boca Raton. We service over 500 kids from 8 to 18. We are a full-service shop. We have Vaughn Sports Performance, working on speed, agility, you know, recovery. We do it all. I got into this thing just, you know, on a funny point. You know, my son started playing t-ball 6 years ago, and we made it to the state tournament, and it rained 29 out of 31 days of the month of June. And I just promised myself I'd never be in that position again. So that's how VSA was created. Nothing more, nothing less. Luckily, you know, we do a lot of different things. We have a lot of great coaches. We probably has over 150 years of experience, professional experience in our facility, and we use that. And parting off with Perfect Game, who is the number one youth sports baseball organization in the world, to be able to be down here in Florida where we play ball 12 months out of the year, we created a great partnership. They backed me on all different types of events, content, different things that we're doing. I have also been able to become a analyst and a special assistant with the owners, just trying to make sure that wherever Perfect Game is not, we get out there and see it and get it going. And that's what we want to do. We want to find those diamonds in the rough, whether it be in the north, whether it be in the south, whether it be in the Midwest, wherever that is, wherever we're now. And listen, Perfect Game has done a great job of really pushing the game nationally and internationally. But we just don't want to miss those guys that are not in our sphere. Get with those people and give them the same opportunity that everybody else has.
Well, as a baseball fan, it was a heck of a lot of fun to watch you, Mo. And thank you for what you're doing for the game now. I appreciate your time, man. Thank you so much.
Man, thanks for having me. Good luck. You guys need me for something else, hit me back.
We're very fortunate to have this man right here. He is, goes without saying, one of the best linemen, one of the best players in the league, period. Teron Armstead, 5 Pro Bowls, the All-Pro, you got it all. You are in L.A., though, Teron, because maybe looking a little bit about what happens after you finally do hang up the shoulder pads and everything. You were actually here for, I don't know, tell me if I'm wrong here, if I'm describing this wrong, like some sort of a media workshop that the NFL puts on with all the different networks. Something that interests you in the future?
I'm trying to find out if it does. I have a media and broadcasting workshop, boot camp, that they put us through, the NFL, NFL Network, and
right.
Really every other major media platform. They come be a part of this 3-day program, where you get a chance to learn from the basics of sitting properly, to present, whether you're doing radio or game, color, play-by-play, podcast, TV, radio, all everything. So it'll be a lot of information over the next few days, but I'm looking forward to it.
Is it something that you start to think about more, like, hey, I can see the end of my career and what's going to be the next step for me? Because you're still going to be an incredibly young dude when you obviously don't play football anymore.
I think over the years, I've always tapped into my other interests and used my talent and ability, not just in football. I think the direction of professional sports, a lot of guys are doing that more and more, and it's extremely beneficial. It's progressive for the athlete, the new athlete. You don't necessarily hear all the broke stories anymore because of exposure and experience that a lot of guys are getting with different industries and off the field and off the court. So I think it's extremely – one of the advocates for it. I encourage guys to do music, do fashion, do, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Business, finance, whatever it is. So I love the fact that we're athletes nowadays are doing those things off the field.
Right. You just mentioned music. I mean, I'm sure you, like me and so many other kids out there, you grow up playing Madden.
Hmm?
How cool was that to have your music in the video game?
Yeah. No, it's definitely a humbling and I'm just appreciative for sure. It was a monumental moment for me. I grew up on Madden. I grew up playing that game. It raised me in football.
Yeah.
I was never really a college football fan. I always just watched the pros. So to be on Madden as a player, a superstar player.
Yeah, fact.
And to be on five songs on the soundtrack is just amazing.
When you're a lineman, when you're playing – you know, obviously you're not controlling yourself. Were you ever jealous? You're like, oh man, I wish I could be the quarterback. I could be the running.
Well, I mean, sometimes like in the red zone, I'll put myself at tight.
You play?
Yeah.
You score a lot, you catch a lot of touchdowns?
A few. Why not? You know what I mean? Why not?
So, why not?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. But obviously music, I'm sure, is a passion of yours. Something you hope to do after football and continue with your music career?
I love it. I love it. I love the field. I love just creating, starting off with a blank canvas, and it's art, you know what I mean? So I like to consider myself an artist. I love to create, partnering with Interscope and a lot of those artists last year. It was extremely eye-opening.
Yeah.
And we was with Dr. Dre, original soundboard, and just, you know, all the history and the culture. It was incredible. So I got some music loaded up that I'll be dropping pretty soon.
Talk to me about your division. Stephon Diggs traded. How do you look at the division now? I mean, you've got some people, hey, the Bills window closed. Some other people say, hey, you've still got a lot of good players. How do you look at the division as a whole? Aaron Rodgers next year, obviously. Yeah. New coach in New England. There's a lot of stuff going on in the AFC.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we definitely have a highly competitive division.
Yeah.
Some great teams over there, great defenses we see. But the thing about us in Miami, man, we're not looking outside. Everything with us is household.
Yeah.
Everything. Even the past couple years, Buffalo winning the division, but self-inflicted, you know, on our we don't look at them as like the team to go out. No. It's all about what we can do in-house, winning those big games, having those big moments, like we have to take that next step, not against just Buffalo, but against the top teams in the league.
Do you guys feel like, I mean, you've got to feel like you are incredibly close.
We're close. We feel like we let an opportunity get away last year. We did. We let an opportunity get away last year.
In Kansas City or?
Just the tail end of the season.
Right, okay.
Yeah, we had some unfortunate injuries for sure.
Yep.
But then we lost some games that would have changed the trajectory of our playoff experience.
All right, thank you.
Appreciate it.
Mojo, WrestleMania 40 was awesome, as we've talked about. Jason Kelce, one of the stars of the show, and we did a story on the TMZ Sports website a little bit earlier today, Mojo, that WWE, and we've talked to our sources, and they are very interested in working with this guy going forward past WrestleMania, Mojo. I guess my question for you as the wrestling expert, is that a good idea? Is that something that WWE should do, Mojo?
Absolutely. They have to throw the offer out, right? I mean, first of all, if you're a big celebrity, it doesn't matter who you are or what you do. WWE would love to have you, and they can find a way to work you in this show. You know, you don't have to be a wrestler or, in this case, a luchador like Jason Kelsey kind of was here for a second, but you can be a manager, a backstage interviewer. You can sing the anthem, for crying out loud. They'll find a place for you. They welcome all stars. So there's that. But Jason Kelsey, man, it would make a lot of sense on their end. He's retired from football now, a freak athlete, a hard worker. I mean, literally everything that they would want from him. The bigger question is, would Jason Kelsey want to do this? I'm going to go ahead and guess the answer is no, outside of an occasional appearance or a one-off. The amount of training and physicality that goes into this is just crazy extensive. He just retired from football for that very reason. So I don't see him leaving the NFL to going to the WWE.
That's what I would say.
You never know.
Right. He just retired for a reason, right, Mojo? Not to sit in the gym and live in the gym and train and learn something new. At least football, he knows, not so much wrestling. But yeah, I think it would be great if from time to time they had him on there. It felt, you know, and knowing nothing, it just felt like a very natural fit to me. And I think the podcast, the movies, TV, I think you're going to see this guy all over. You're not going to miss Jason Kelsey too much. We got to go, Mojo. We got a bunch tomorrow. Big stories, great videos. We got it all. Going to be a great show.
Matter of fact, Babcock, it'll be the best show since today.